Good morning, Trinity. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us. Good. You remembered that. We're glad that each of you are here today. We have, for those of you who are visiting with us, we welcome you very much. And just a reminder for members and visitors, we have two cards in the pews in front of you. And the colored cards are there for prayer requests. If you're a visitor, we encourage you also to submit any prayer request you have. And for the second card, it's there for us to let us know that you're here. And visitors and members alike, we'd like to have you fill that out. And especially if you have something that you would like us to connect with you on. It's very helpful for us. And so please leave your name, number, and all that stuff there. And the best part of all is that you get to stand and greet one another. Thank you. Hey, what, you want to do this? Is that what you want to do? Hello, how are you? Good to have you with us. Good morning, how are you? Well, and you're in a Trinity. Well, it's good for to have you back. Hey, how are you guys? Well, we missed you a couple weeks there. Wow. I think we were kind of going through some of that too. So Desiree was out a couple of weeks. Yes. Good for you. You're looking good, guys. Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you, Ulysses? Good so far. Hello, Mary Lou. Larry? Doing well. Good to see you. Good to see you. Doug Callison, glad you're here.
Doing well.
Good. And Bob's, where's Bob? There he is. He's the Lord. Thank you. Luke, right? Parker, sorry. Glad you're here, Katie. Thanks for helping out. Please remain standing as we make our beginning. We make our beginning today. Sooner or later. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join us for our opening hymn.
Thank you.
say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own grace and mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by Christ and his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place on which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and the boy will go over there and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took his hand, the fire, and the knife, so they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. He said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took a knife to slaughter his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from James chapter 1. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will be brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came down from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And he came up out of the water immediately, and he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering unto him. Now after John, the baptizer, was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this day. Our text is taken from the Old Testament account, the story of Abraham and Isaac, Genesis chapter 22, beginning with the first verse. And if I could have the projection turn to the Old Testament account, that would be great. There's also pew Bibles in front of your row there, if you'd like to follow along that way. And we certainly do invite you to do so. Today we will be looking at the story of Abraham and Isaac. I believe this is probably one of the hardest texts to understand and to preach from and to fully explain. God was asking this one man, Abraham, in this one instance, to sacrifice his son, Isaac, his only one and only son, in whom God himself had pinned the promise that in your son will all the nations of the earth be blessed. It's the promise of God unto Abraham. In a very real and powerful way, this story parallels God the Father's own son, Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed on a different mountain, a mountain called Mount Calvary. I'd like to outline for you now, if I may, just a bit about the story of Abraham to familiarize yourself with it. God's journey with Abraham is worthy of outlining, because Abraham and Sarah really were sojourners, travelers, followers of God. Abraham is promised in several different junctures, but especially in Genesis 12 and others following, that the promise that he would be a father of many nations, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore, and that through him, this descendant, all the nations of the earth would be blessed through this one seed of Abram. Now, remind yourself as you're reading the story of Abraham and remembering that story that at the time, this couple is without a child, and Abraham is 75 years of age, and Sarah, his wife, is past childbearing age in her mid-60s. God, after several years later, calls unto Abraham, and he says, so that you will remember that I've promised you, he calls upon all the men of Israel to be circumcised. Now, I'm not sure that that was real popular with the guys in the camp, but I will say that as this happened, we do want to understand why. It was a daily reminder that God had promised to Abraham that Abraham would have a son, and that God was going to make this promise fulfilled. And that was a daily reminder for all in Egypt or in Israel that God had promised this to Abraham. But it seems as though you work some 25 years later, you're still having no child, that Hagar or that Sarah starts to get a little nervous and saying, you know, I'm not getting younger, Abraham. And so she says, I've got a plan. I think we need to help God a little bit with this plan. And so Sarah takes her handmaiden and offers Hagar as one who could conceive a child in her stead and give God the promise that he had made unto Abraham. But an angel of the Lord appears after Ishmael, that son, had been born. And by the way, Ishmael is the one who would be the father, if you will, of all the Arabic nations. And thus the divide between the Israelites and the Arabic nations still to this day was really over Ishmael and Isaac, and who really had the blessing. But it was the angel of the Lord that appeared and said unto Abraham and to Sarah that this Ishmael is not the one I intended. That was not the promise that I had made. And God promised through this angel that this time next year, Sarah, your wife, will conceive a child, and you shall name him Isaac, which means laughter. For Sarah had laughed at the angel's words. Abraham believed and trusted God. Now for more than a quarter of a century, that God would be good on this promise. This day he trusted that if God were asking him to sacrifice his son, and he and Sarah were 190 respectively, then God could also raise Isaac up from the dead, if that's what God wanted to do. Certainly he had given Isaac well beyond their childbearing years. And now, if this was to be God's wish,
Abraham said, I'm in. Nothing is to be impossible with God. Abraham, Scripture tells us, is known as the father of the faith, believing and trusting in God and living and trusting in God's word and promise, even when it was really, really difficult. Our text really begins now in chapter 22, verse 1. God tested Abraham, and he said to him, here, take your son Isaac, your only begotten son that you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountaintops, which I shall show you. God was testing Abraham. And the test was really this. Who did Abraham love more? Isaac was the gift of God. Did he love Isaac more than God who had given him Isaac? That was really the question before Abraham. And this is the ultimate test of not having any other gods, which is the first of all commands. What about our lives? What other gods do you and I have in our life, in our world? Is it our spouse, our children, our jobs, our identity? I'd like to have you now walk with Abraham, if you would, in his shoes. Because God had told him to take his son and to go to the land of Moriah and there offer him on top of the mountain as a burnt offering. Abraham didn't dilly and dally. He rose early in the morning, our text tells us. There was no delaying this dreadful journey that God had commanded him to make. He took two of his other servants with him. And then he took his son Isaac and they headed out. Can you imagine, though, as Abraham was cutting the firewood, with each stroke of the axe that he made, saying there as he saw the pile of wood growing, thinking about how much wood would it take to offer my son as a burnt offering? One more stroke of an axe, and then another. And with each stroke, he watched the pile of wood grow. He must have been sad. Very sad. On the third day of their journey, Abraham lifted up his eyes, our text tells us, and he saw the place from afar. He saw the mountains, and you know how as you're driving towards the mountains, they keep getting bigger and bigger? Well, they were walking towards the mountains, and they were realizing that the mountains were getting bigger. And the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place, but there was no turning back. Can you imagine, if you were Abraham, the raw emotion and the adrenaline and how his heart must have been racing and his stomach must have been churning? Yet Abraham remained obedient unto the Lord's command. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkeys while I and the boy go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on his Isaac, his son's back. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so both of them were together, Isaac and Abraham. And Isaac said to his dad, where? I see the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham simply said, God will provide. God will provide. Wasn't this the conversation of Jesus with his heavenly Father in the Garden of Eden, in the very night in which he was betrayed, the day before he was to be crucified? Didn't Jesus, with bended knee and drops of blood dripping out of the veins in his face and arms, so emotionally understanding what was about to take place, Jesus prayed, if there be any way, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but rather thy will be done. In Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, but they would be blessed through the descendant of Isaac and of Abraham. His name was Jesus, who would die in the place of Isaac, of Abraham, of Sarah, of Ishmael, of Hagar, of Dun, of Desiree, of Greg, of Brendan,
of Anna, of all of us who were gathered, Jesus is the one
who would die in our place.
Like Isaac, our heavenly Father did pile the wood of the cross, upon his son's back. And the heavenly Father, as he marched his son towards Calvary's cross and towards Calvary's mountaintop experience, the heavenly Father placed the whip, the scourge, and the nails, and the spear, and the nails of the hammered soldiers that would hammer those into Jesus' hands and feet. And atop this appointed mountain, Jesus, God's one and only begotten Son, was sacrificed. When they came to the place of which God had told Abraham, build the altar and laid the wood in order, and then bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on that altar, on top of the wood, Jesus, like Isaac, on top of Mount Calvary, was obedient, allowing his father to bind him. Jesus was obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Jesus laid down his life of his own initiative, and he did take it up again on the third day. Returning to our text, then Abraham reached out his hand and he took the knife and he raised it to slaughter his son. The angel of the Lord said, stop! Do not harm the boy, for I now know that you fear God and would not even spare your own son, your one and only son, for me. And the angel directed Abraham to look behind him. And there was a ram the Lord had provided that would be offered as a sacrifice in place of Isaac, his son. God did provide a lamb for the life of Isaac, but the truest and real spotless lamb was the Lamb of God, whom the Father did not spare, but rather assigned all of our sins and the sins of the entire world. In his body, Jesus would bear them all. Jesus prayed from the cross, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And upon his last breath, he said, it is finished. His work was done. The price had been paid, and the plan of God was being carried out. Jesus prayed for those who had also crucified him and who were in the crowd yelling for his crucifixion. And he prayed and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That's how much Jesus loves you and he loves me. He was willing to lay down his life for you so that you and I could be certain if we and when we die, we would have a place in paradise called heaven that Jesus has already prepared for us to return to him and to spend eternity for him and with him. But here and now, we're also to live out a life of worth and meaning and purpose. As if Abraham was also told a second time by the angel, I myself, God, have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, Abraham, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you, Abraham, have obeyed my voice. Wow. Because of obedience, Abraham, by the grace and mercy of God, was given a son. His son was spared, and there was a spotless lamb that was provided in place of his son. I don't know. That would be a hard one for me to pick up the knife to do and to be obedient unto the Lord. But I think as you and I start to see what God has called us to do, that was Abraham, that one man in that one instance at that one place for one reason. God wanted to see how much he loved him. In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, I am reminded of something that I need to have help from God with. And that is this, that God would search me and would know my heart and see if there's any hurtful way in me, and that he would lead me in the everlasting way and for the purpose of bringing salvation and being a vessel of salvation unto many others. 2 days ago in Parkland, Florida,
a young man of 19 years of age took the life of 17 other people, students and teachers. You know, we question why, and we wonder why God would allow such a thing to happen. We live in a fallen world, certainly tainted and contaminated by killing and stain of sin, and yet we know that God is both omniscient, knows all, and we also know that he's omnipotent, all-powerful. Why then? We also know that if God really were to start to wipe out all sin, all forms of evil, that you and I would also be goners. He'd have to wipe us out too. Because without Christ, we are no different from this young man. We're evil in God's sight. We're sinners. Children of wrath by nature. When I look at this shooting, however, I see that Christ was lived out. And how God's grace was not only heard, but extended and given, and was present. How thoughts and prayers did move the hand of God to spare many lives. I tell you a few stories that I'm aware of. The janitor who redirected students to hide in a storage closet, saving many. How a teacher stepped out of her safety into a hallway where she thought she was hearing the gunman approach. And then she unlocked her door and took in students to hide in her classroom moments before the gunman walked down the hallway. What of the hero of the ROT students, classmates of these same students in this 3,000-member high school, who saw some 90-plus children, students running down the hallway the wrong way, and they brought them, redirected them to a different area of the campus, in which there were, for ROTC purposes, Kevlar shields placed in that room. And they had the students march in there, and they placed the shield of the Kevlar in front of them, sheet after sheet after sheet, saving 90-plus, over 100, it is estimated. And those three young high school students, ROT students, armed only with 2x4s and a fire extinguisher, stood in the doorway, knowing that if the gunman got through the door, they were going to protect and even be willing to give their life up by protecting that doorway, armed only with 2x4s and a fire extinguisher. What of the football coach hero named Aaron Heist, who had earlier won his battle with cancer, but on this day placed his life in second place to spare the life of students? He jumped into a spray of bullets that the gunman was shooting into the room, saving the life of several students. He gave his life so that many others might live. God used the witness of Aaron and several other ordinary people like you and me to be selfless servant leaders who knew the lesson of loving thy neighbor as thyself and loving God above all. Because such faith changes the world and triumphs over evil every time. I was saddened when I read on Facebook the words of a colleague that had the words in parentheses, thoughts and prayers, and they crossed it out in favor of the words that they said they needed, quote, policy and change. I would never want to cross Christ out of his circumvention, of the reach of his mighty hand, in my time of help or need in exchange of some human policy or change that I had thought of. My friends, God did act. God spared hundreds of lives, I believe, through his answer to the Parkland prayers. He had positioned people, person after person, who stood in the gap, who made their way, who opened the doors, who put people in safety and sheltered, and even gave their lives. God was answering the prayers of the Parkland people. Our humanity and our policies and our changes have not delivered any answers or remedies to date.
What do we learn from this? Certainly we should learn that God is faithful, that he does keep his promises, and that he does hear our prayers. He heard Abraham's, and certainly it may have been a quarter of a century, but God did answer them. We're also called to stand in the shadow of Abraham, being obedient unto God. And sometimes it's a very long time, and we see so little answer and so little hope. But God did and does answer the prayers of Abraham and many a person. If you want to look at Hebrews 11, you can see a cloud of witnesses. If you want to look at Trinity in this 100-year century, you can see many a cloud of witnesses of those who've come and gone before us, and how they lived out their faith, and how they impacted the life of this church and the life of many people. We are called to have no other gods, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to make a difference in the world in which we live, to stand in the gap at the time of need, and to be the person of faith that God has called us to be. Because, my friends, you've not only been saved, you've been sent and given the command to follow Christ and to be obedient unto him. May God bless you and bless me and bless the ministry of this congregation as we impact this community with the love and power and purpose of Christ. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, and the prophets, And I believe in one holy Christian church. I acknowledge one baptism of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy God, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Savior Jesus, we thank that us thankfully you have protected us this whole night from harm and danger, and that you have allowed us to be able to, with peace and comfort, awaken this day refreshed, renewed, and to come here and to worship and praise your holy name. O Lord, it is by your providential care and protection that we can say that. And yet, O Lord, in our world there are many things that are in need of your help and your deliverance. And into your hands we place them. We ask, O Lord, for people you would position to be put in places to serve, places such as Parkland, Florida. We also thank you, Lord, for our comfort dog ministry that was sent there to be a peace comforting ministry to reach out to those who were touched by this tragedy. We ask, O Lord, that our presence there through this ministry might help in many ways. Lord, in your mercy. Lord and Savior, may you protect and also bless with wisdom us as we enter into the second century of ministry here at Trinity. We ask, O Lord, that you give wisdom to the pastor and our leaders and all of our members, especially as we gather to discuss our properties, with wisdom to be able to see how this all fits together with your plans for us to walk in faith into this community to serve you. Lord, grant us wisdom as we pray and ask for your guidance. Lord, in your mercy. Bless and be with our principal, our teachers, the students, and their parents, as they too are learning your truths of your word. And may their lives be touched and led and shaped and molded in ways even as ours are through worship. That you would allow us as your students of the word to be into following you obediently, even as Abraham. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy. And now we ask, O Lord, that you would hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Lord, the congregation prays for continued healing and getting well for Carolyn Murray, because she's healing from recent surgeries. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. We also ask, O Lord Jesus, that you would be with the family of Doug and Diane Wiley as they mourn the passing of their son-in-law, Billy. Comfort and be with Billy's wife and children, and be with Doug and Diane, and allow them the comfort and the joy of knowing that you are the resurrection and the life. And allow them, O Lord, to seek comfort in you and to know the peace that does surpass all human understanding. Be with our secretary, also Chanda Gillenwater, and we pray for her quick recovery and return to work and normal life. Lord, in your mercy. And we now pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples. And he said, take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup. And after he had blessed it, he gave it unto his disciples and said, take and drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As oft as we partake in this bread, is it not the body of Christ? As also as we partake of this cup of blessing, is it not the blood of Christ? Come now and see that the table is ready, and for you to receive the grace and the comfort and the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Come, you may be seated. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. Recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, and that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay. The only announcement I think that there was, I remember from last service, was I believe it's next week Anna Moore will be here, and I think Pastor's probably going to talk to you more about that.
Stay up here.
Okay.
He had to sit through two of these sermons. I think he was moving his lips with me as I was talking.
It was only half that he sat through, so how can I complain?
Well, we're glad that you are all here today. I'd just like to say, I think you were going to mention Anna Moore.
Yes.
Pastor Jeff and Lisa Moore's daughter, many of you remember, she's going to actually be speaking next Sunday during the announcement time, like now, at each of our four services, okay? And so that's what we'd like to make sure you're aware of. Also, our Lenten season is upon us. We had our Ash Wednesday services last Wednesday. So every Wednesday now through Easter week, Holy Week, we're going to be having a Wednesday service at both 12:10, and also that will be for 40 minutes, and you'll be out the door. And then at that evening at 7 o'clock, we also are going to be having our evening Lenten services. There is in the evening
the super dinner.
The soup and sandwich dinner. So that is going to be each and every Wednesday evening. So we wanted to let you know that. Also, the Campus Development Task Force is going to be meeting again, and so we're getting prepared for our town hall meeting March 5th. We hope that you're prepared for that and are planning on being here, where there will be a lot of great information and updates that I think you're going to want to know about. Are there any other announcements?
I can't think of any unless Ted wants to step in. No.
May the Lord bless you and have a great and wonderful week, but please stand and join us for our final verses of our final hymn.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.